Well, hey, everyone. Welcome to this week's show. I am Lisa Anderson, and later on in the show, we're going to actually have a question answered from someone who both she and her sister are having trouble communicating with their parents, and they just feel like it's difficult to connect with them on a meaningful level. So what should this relationship look like? What is their responsibility moving into it to really change things and have a relationship with them that they can kind of take forward into the coming years? So looking forward to that. And then for our culture segment, I'm going to have a conversation with Albert Shee. He actually wrote a book called Grieving a Suicide. His dad took his own life, and his family had to walk through the pain, the grief of that, as well as just the questions that people had, in the wake of that and what that looked like. So just a really great, helpful, compassionate conversation with him coming up. Along that same theme, we're actually going to break it down here on the roundtable with a few folks. I have Alice, Melinda, and Caleb here. Hey, you guys.
Hi.
Hi. All right. Well, we're going to talk about experiencing loss, and this could be on any level, and we have different experiences represented here. But this is actually Sunday was actually World Suicide Prevention Day, and today, the day this show is releasing, is actually Are You Okay Day, which is a day brought about to encourage people to reach out to those around them who seem like they need help getting through something. And it seems in a selfie culture, in a social media driven culture, we're all kind of putting on smiles and writing little pithy status updates and tweets here and there and whatever. But when it comes to actually dealing with the things in life that we are truly grappling with, it's much more difficult to get below the surface. And so we're going to do that today. Some of the folks here, are a few steps ahead of many of you out there, but have dealt with losses of various kinds. And we all deal with loss during the course of our lives and on many different levels. And so I just really appreciate the willingness of our panelists to come in here and start sharing. I just want to open it up by kind of talking generally around, if you look, back maybe, Caleb's kind of young here, so I was going to say, look back 20 years. He's like, what? Look back to some point in your life when you felt, you had definite ideas of like how life was going to play out, what this was like, related to relationships, related to family, future, all of that. Would you say you were idealistic? Do you think that where you are now and your understanding of the realities of life has truly shifted or been informed by experiences you've had? Talk about the then and the now a little bit.
So I guess looking back in life, I guess not 20 years, I'll go back like 10.
Okay.
Thinking like, there's hard stuff and like experiencing loss. In that sense, I always thought, I'd experience like one quick thing and like one hard thing and then life would kind of be good. But then as you keep going on, there's more and more difficult mm-hmm. things that keep building up. And there's always going to be that suffering and that loss. And it feels like it never really stops. So I guess younger me would think, oh, yeah, there's going to be one big thing. And then, you're kind of going to keep moving on. But
it's like a one and done. You just soldier through that. Yeah. And then God's going to reward you by ease and comfort.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, that never happens. So, okay. Now we know. Melinda, how about you?
Oh, 20 years ago, I was looking for that fairy tale. Just wanted to be married, have a family, be heavily involved in our church, have the white picket fence. I did have a white picket fence, but it was short-lived due to my husband's suicide. So.
And how long had you been married?
We had just celebrated 10 years.
Wow. Okay. And that was how long ago now?
It was 7 years, June 3rd this year.
Okay. 7 years ago, which is like nothing. I mean,
that seems sometimes it seems like it was just a few weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Alice, how about you?
20 years ago, I was busy raising two children. My son had just died 3 years prior, and we were just getting ready for, we were a few years away from my daughter coming out as homosexual. So great losses, but very unique in each one. And being a new believer, I didn't know what to expect as far as one and done. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's a little different than Caleb. And mm-hmm. I felt that my past brought this on because I hadn't really matured yet in my relationship with God. Mm-hmm. And to speak to Melinda's point, 23 years of one loss, it can stop you like a dime and you are back there.
Mm-hmm. How, in light of that, talk a little bit about how those losses affected you and how were they the same and how were they different? How did you have to walk through those? And then talk a little bit about those, because I think that is very real, those feelings of being to blame for that and, oh, God must be punishing me. Other people I know aren't going through this.
Definitely. When my son died, I had been a believer 3 months. Hmm. And so I thought, okay, this is how life goes. I was cynical. And because of things in my past, I figured God had to hurt me, break me, and then we were even and I could move on. Hmm. And with my daughter, that just caught me out of left field. It actually came via text message. And then it was compounded with, I had was further along in my walk. She knew how strong I was in my relationship with God. But I was the bad person because I was a Christian. Therefore, I must hate her. So we immediately became just adversaries. And our relationship, which was good as a teenage daughter can be with a mom, just stopped. And everything was my fault in her life. And I had now lost a second child, if you will. And then also the dreams that I had for being a mom of a daughter, the white wedding, if you will, the grandchildren. And we can talk about all that because there's so much. And even Facebook is another component. Watching your friends celebrate these milestones, as with other losses that happen in your life, anniversaries, you know, for Melinda and others. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and it seems like now, I mean, when more and more people have access to our lives, whether that's in what I would consider legit ways, like, you know, if you're in small group at church where we are to be the body of Christ to one another, be in community. But by nature of that, if you're going to get something out of it, you got to be vulnerable and you got to be willing to say, you know, yeah, things aren't always that great. But by having other people in our lives, and I know, Caleb, you've walked through even with friends in your own community and stuff, you've had to walk through hard stuff. Being younger,
yeah,
it's like the net is spread further and you're kind of walking through other stuff with other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess I'll give a little background. I back home, I was a youth group, high school youth group leader. And this is in February. One of our students, we were in a very close-knit community, only like 30, 40 students. Mm-hmm. But one of our students got really sick unexpectedly and suddenly had passed away mm-hmm. within a matter of like a week and a half. And so that was really, really interesting to see just my grieving process of how I handle that, but seeing all these students in our entire community and like all the high schoolers, just how they handle grieving and how it's different for everybody. And like even seeing a lot of our students felt guilty that they weren't grieving the same way of others. And so that was a really interesting, feel bad saying interesting way, but it was just yeah. really interesting to see people's different grieving processes.
Yeah. Well, and how weird to be in a spot where kind of you're in leadership yeah. and trying to grieve on your own, but also help others walk yeah. through it. And don't you guys think that it's so true that as Christians, we feel that way? Like, oh my God, this expectation of us, like we should handle grief differently or not have, I mean, get the whole, well, clearly you just need to trust the Lord or mm-hmm. or grieve healthily. It's okay. Read the books you need to do, go to some counseling, but then you need to be over this. You need to walk forward in victory or whatever. How has that played out for you? What has been the expectation or how people treat you for good or for bad once having revealed that you've now had to walk through this situation?
I don't know. Yeah.
Well, for me, people expect me to get over it and to rejoice because my son, he was just shy of 3 years old, so we know he's in heaven. That does not stop the loss, the pain that you feel. And with my daughter, Christians, there's that view of, well, did you not raise her right? Mm-hmm. If she knew God, she wouldn't go this way if you were a better mother. But I am blessed to have friends who come alongside and say, look, we all have free will and we do what we want. So there's an interesting world that I'm caught in with both of them.
Mm-hmm. if you turn it back on him and just be like, God is responsible for her heart. Why is he not doing something?
Yeah.
You know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, it's clearly God mm-hmm. knows what's up. He has the power to do something about it. I don't know. Melinda, did you find hollow words or?
Yes. Within a couple of months, I had a well-meaning friend approach me and, you know, you need to move on. And I just tried to, even in my shock, I was just trying to extend grace and let mm-hmm. them talk. They don't know what to say to you, mm-hmm. so they will just be flippant with their words. And, I mean, they're well-meaning people. But it took me by surprise that someone would, there's no time frame. There's mm-hmm. no time frame on grief. And, you know, you need to walk it out. Each loss is so unique and different. And I cannot put my loss on Alice. I, you know, we just walk this journey, and it's so new. We've never done it before. Each relationship is so unique.
Mm-hmm. What are some, Melinda, just to follow up on this, what are some of the questions you asked yourself when you, I mean, what are the things you wrestled with when you knew, I mean, your husband had taken his life. I mean, what did that feel like? But just what questions did that put in your mind as far as what you had to wrestle with personally?
Well, I will say that besides the loss of my husband, I was grieving the loss of a marriage. Mm-hmm. Right from the beginning, I realized it was going to be a turbulent relationship. It was a difficult marriage, mm-hmm. to the point where I had people from work, people from my church say that you have every reason to leave this marriage. There was no physical abuse. It was just more emotional. And but I was committed. I was committed to my vow, to my husband, and to the Lord. And so I just needed to buck up. And so anyway, there was a lot of guilt after he had taken his life, but went through counseling, went through a program called Grief Share, and that helped a great deal. I do not take responsibility for his decision on what he has done. So, but it was a process to get to that point and to not put it on myself, blame myself.
Mm-hmm.
I do know I could have been more attentive to him. You know, there's always hindsight in everything. And, you know, I look at relationships different and just trying to extend more grace and more, just more compassion in the relationship, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any other thoughts just on how, like, for people that are kind of walking through a season like this right now, or maybe, you know, I was just talking with coworkers here, and I'm sure all of you know this, just the Colorado Springs has been labeled as one of the largest suicide cities, especially among teenagers. Mm-hmm. And it's just weird. It's like you want to be able to say, you know, through any pattern of loss or whether it's destructive behavior, self-destructive, whatever, you want to be able to say, if you do this, this, and this, or this is what this looks like, and then all of a sudden it's just turned on your head. Oh, my goodness. No, it is white, affluent teenagers that are... And so you just can't... You can't put something on it. But what would you say as far as people who are walking through this, what are encouragements for them as far as what was helpful for you in just grappling with both with God and with others, feelings of, okay, this is not okay, this may never be okay, but I have got to, there's something solid here that I'm mm-hmm. going to have to hold on to. And what does that look like?
I think for me, there was a sermon by John Piper, where he's talking about suffering and loss, and he said something to the effect like, it's all purposeful, like, and it's hard to believe that, but to believe that there is purpose in this super hard time going on in your life, like, God has purpose for it, and you might not see it years down the road, but like, there is something in place because God is sovereign and he knows, you know, what he's doing pretty much, and who am I to question it? Mm-hmm. At the time, I can still be sad, I can still grieve, but you know, just holding on to the hope that there is purpose throughout this time.
That there's a reason behind it. For example, it was within a few months after the loss, I had a friend come up to me. Her husband had recently had lost his job, and he was actually contemplating suicide. But he noticed what I was walking through, and he did not want that for his wife. Hmm. So the verse, as a man lays down his life for others, I've repeatedly, you know, I think on that when I can go in that mindset. Because even 7 years later, there are moments where, gosh, I wish I could have done this better. What if I would have done this on that one particular day? Or so the whole purpose behind it. Yeah, there's a reason. God is, you know, he knew it was going to happen. So
for me, it was trusting God. I spent years being angry at him for my children. And one day I was sitting in church recently, as a matter of fact, and I realized that he trusted me, though, with this. He knew that this was going to happen. Now, how am I going to respond to this? I call myself a believer. I say I want to follow you, Jesus. And I thought, okay, I never, and flippantly, I may call it a membership in a club I never asked for. But you know what? There are other people who are hurting. And I want, my promise to God from all of this is to be vulnerable and transparent. Let them see the weakness, the pain, but also, and it took years to get there, where I could have joy again, that I could go to friends' daughters' weddings, that I could go to children's birthday parties. But I want them to be encouraged to know that God never stops loving us. And before each one of us was born, he knew the days, just as with my son. He knew what was going to happen with my daughter. And have hope. And if you need to just cry, let go and embrace a new normal. And that was the best thing for me, and to understand that people cannot put me in a box. And if I'm good with God, it's okay. And to reach out to friends, lean on them. And I encourage other people, just be there. You don't have to say anything. Just come alongside. Let me talk about my kids. Let me grieve what I'm going through. And let me just get it out. And just love me through it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, transparency is huge, and that vulnerability of just being open with someone.
It is, and especially in the gay, with the homosexual aspect, again, because we want to fix everything. Well, you know what? I would love for her, you know, to be walking closer with God and to be in a different place, but she's not. And what are we called to do? We are called to love one another. He didn't stop loving her. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to stop loving her. And that's just it. And so I want to encourage other parents. You know, I'm in such a unique role here in the ministry. We hear from parents who are going through this. And so often it's their friends are not immediately, okay, what can I do for you? How can I love you? Okay, let's pray for this young person. Let's pray for you. God loves you. Sin is sin is sin, but we have got to reach out and be that support for one another. And my heart has become more tender for so many more people through these losses. And I just, again, God trusts me with this, and it's just an overwhelming feeling. I don't want it. But now I want to make sure that when I'm in opportunities that I can say, look what he's done, though, through all of this. Mm-hmm. I'm not quitting. God's not quit me.
Yeah. So kind of a two-sided question then as we finish out here. What one, and this is going to sound dumb, but where do people find people like you? I mean, where do they find the safe people? Like if they know that they have something that they need to unburden, or they are walking through loss, or they are fearful, or they maybe there's something they experience that they haven't even told anyone. How do they know who the safe people are? And then conversely, how can we as the church be that? What are the questions we should be asking? How should we be reaching out to people who are really hurting or angry or questioning or whatever? What is the place for that as well? Either or both of those.
For me, I put it out there on my Facebook, on especially on the death anniversary and his birthdays, and because those hurt, especially. And I have friends and family members who will say, hey, I've got somebody who's going through this. Can I put you guys together? By all means. So I make it known what's going on. But, you know, you can see people. and just ask, can I pray for you? Maybe they'll share that. Take someone to lunch if you see something.
Yeah.
That's make a great that relationship.
Way. I always say just saying, what can I pray for you about is a great entree because it allows them to share as much or as little as they'd like. Mm-hmm. That's good. Anything else?
I think as far as the church goes, I feel like, yeah, we're always trying to fix people and like give them, you know, scripture and inspirational quotes and say, oh, yeah, here, that'll help. But just listening to them and saying, hey, I'm here if you want to talk, if you want to just cry. Like, I'm here and I'm no judgment or nothing, just here to listen, I guess.
That's good.
For me, the Holy Spirit has, he just leads me, and it will be interesting how someone will just cross my path that has contemplated suicide or knows someone that has just taken their life. And then there's that discerning spirit that, you know, the person may not be a safe person. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they just want to get in your business. So I just ask the Lord to just give me the wisdom and who to speak with. And
Yeah, that's good. Well, I think it's been huge that the three of you have been willing to come and talk into microphones on this. And I know we have a box of Kleenex sitting here. We didn't know where this would go. But you guys all did just really well. And our time is so short, you know, but it's just for those of you out there, we wanted to just put this out there and say, you know, we are here for you. We want to walk with you here at Boundless in prayer. Obviously, you know, others have gone before you or experiencing loss around you. Those in your community, in your church, seek them out. And if you are in a situation, whether you have gone through a loss, whether you are walking through something really hard right now, you don't even know what it is, you can do a couple of things. One, pop over to focusonthefamily.com. We have got resources there. We have referrals. We have a number of different questions answered. You can start hunting around there. But also, you can call our number, 1-800, the letter A and the word family, 1-800-A-FAMILY. Tell the person on the other side of the line exactly what you're going through, and they will get you to the right person. We have counselors here. We have chaplains here, folks who can pray with you and who can get you started, even with an approved and vetted counselor in your area who can kind of really start walking this road with you if you need to get some healing and some help right away. So we want you to know that here at Focus on the Family and Boundless.org, we're very passionate about that. So you guys, thank you so much for sharing from
your experience.
Thank
you, Lisa.